Well, it's June 15th, 2025. Happy Father's Day to all our fathers in the house today. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We are so glad you chose to join us. I have an important message for not just our fathers, but also mothers and all those who lead today. I will be speaking about the cost of holy responsibility. This Father's Day message is from Leviticus 10. Before I begin, let's open in prayer. Abba, Father, we come before you today with humble hearts, grateful for your presence and your word. We thank you for the example of Aaron, for the lessons found in your Torah, and for the mercy you show us through Yeshua. As we gather on this Father's Day, we ask for wisdom and courage to walk in your ways. Strengthen every parent, every father, every mother who carries the weight of leading their family. Help us to love as you love, to stand for what is right, even when it's hard, and to reflect your holiness in all we do. Speak your truth to us through me today. And open our hearts to receive your truth. Not my truth, but your truth, Lord. Let your spirit guide us as we seek to honor you above all. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Now, this last week, I've been fighting a bit of a sore throat. So please forgive me if my voice fails a little bit, but we're going to try to get through this with the Lord's help. Amen. First, let's talk about what happened. In Leviticus 10, it opens with a tragedy. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offer strange fire before Yahweh, something he commanded them not to do. Fire comes from Yahweh's presence and consumes them. Moses turns to Aaron and says, "This is what Yahweh spoke, saying, 'I will be sanctified in those who come near me, and before all the people, I will be glorified.'" And Aaron holds his peace, according to Leviticus 10:3. Even more striking, Moses instructs Aaron and his remaining sons not to mourn outwardly. No rending of garments, no unkempt hair, nothing that would signal public grief, lest they die and bring wrath on the whole congregation. You could read that in Leviticus 10:6. The rest of Israel may weep, but those nearest to the altar must not. What exactly is strange fire? It is unauthorized or improper offerings to God. In Leviticus 10, the Torah isn't specific about the details, but the phrase points to something offered in worship that Yahweh did not authorize. Some traditions say Nadab and Abihu took fire from a source other than the altar, while others suggest they acted impulsively without proper reverence, or were drunk, or brought their own ideas into sacred service. Whatever the case, strange fire is anything introduced into worship or service that doesn't come from Yahweh's command. It's innovation where obedience was required. This idea is bigger than incense or ritual. Strange fire represents any attempt to approach Yahweh on our own terms, mixing his instructions with our preferences, emotions, and cultural trends. In the church today, it might look like worship that's more about performance than reverence, or teachings that bend Yahweh's word to fit what's popular. There's a lot of churches today who are worshiping using ungodly music or dancing in an ungodly manner before the Lord. Now, I'm all for worshiping, using a variety of genres and melodies and rhythms. And I'm all for worship dancing. I'm a worship dancer. However, there are some who come before the Lord with what we're terming strange fire. They're doing things that really aren't godly, and it's not holy. It's not good. And the teachings, if you look in the news today, the Methodist Church is in disarray. They've lost half their membership in the past few years since they've decided to agree with the cultural belief that homosexuality is okay and that they can ordain openly gay clergy and perform homosexual marriages. And many of their churches are in disagreement with this policy, so they're leaving in droves. My mother goes to a church in California that is one such church that was Methodist, and they left the Methodist church and are now a Christian church on their own. So when we bend Yahweh's word to fit what's popular and cultural, then strange fire. And it may have unintended consequences. In our personal lives, strange fire can be trusting in our own wisdom, and our motives may not be pure, or we might want to take shortcuts, especially when he's called us to something different. The lesson is clear. Yahweh is holy, and he's not interested in substitutes for obedience, no matter how sincere or well-meaning they might seem. We all remember the story of Saul, where Samuel told him obedience is better than sacrifice, because he wanted to save some of the best animals, because the people wanted to save the best animals, he said, to sacrifice to Samuel's God. It was quite interesting that Samuel called him your God rather than my God. Shows that he had walked away from God, and then the kingdom was taken from him and his family and given to David. But why were they told not to grieve here in Leviticus 10? Well, from a messianic prophetic lens, this is about more than priestly ritual. Aaron wasn't forbidden to feel pain. He was forbidden to express it in a way that would challenge Yahweh's justice. Public mourning might suggest to Israel that God's judgment was too harsh, that he could be questioned or pitied. Priesthood's job is to uphold Yahweh's holiness above all, even their own loss. In a prophetic sense, this points to the unique calling of those who serve closest to the Holy One. They carry a weight others may not understand. Their allegiance to Yahweh's sanctity sometimes means setting aside personal rights, at least publicly, for the sake of the greater good. So why is this important for fathers today? Fatherhood is a calling that mirrors the priesthood in many ways. Fathers stand as examples, sometimes as the only priests the family sees. When tragedy comes or when loved ones suffer consequences for sin, a father's first job is not to defend, excuse, publicly grieve in a way that undermines righteousness, but to uphold Yahweh's standard and trust his wisdom. This isn't about suppressing emotion or pretending we don't hurt. It's about the kind of strength that refuses to let personal grief overshadow the need to honor Yahweh in front of those entrusted to our care. And to the mothers who now carry this mantle alone, those whose husbands are gone or who never had a partner to share the load, this word is for you too. The same holy responsibility rests on your shoulders. You may not have chosen this role, but Yahweh sees your sacrifice and your courage. In the moments when your children stumble or life brings grief, your example matters just as much. You are the one modeling what it looks like to honor Yahweh first, even when your heart aches. Your quiet strength, your choice to uphold righteousness when it would be easier to break down or give in, teaches your children how to walk in faith and integrity. You may feel unseen, but your faithfulness echoes in heaven. It's one thing to understand the weight of Aaron's calling or the principles behind Yahweh's instruction, but what does any of this look like when the rubber meets the road? Most of us aren't priests standing before an altar, but we do find ourselves in moments where our response sets the tone for our families and the people around us. The challenge is living out these truths in the mess of everyday life. When emotions run high, when discipline is hard, when love calls for something stronger than comfort, here's how we can put these ancient lessons into practice today. Here's some personal applications. Sanctify Yahweh in your responses. When your children fail or face discipline, your first role is not to side with your feelings, but with what is right before Yahweh. Sometimes this means practicing tough love, choosing what is best for their souls rather than what feels easiest in the moment. Your reaction teaches your family how to view God's justice and mercy. Don't let public emotion undermine righteous discipline. Private tears are not forbidden. Public opposition to God's ways is. The greatest act of love is sometimes letting Yahweh's judgment stand, trusting He knows best, even if it breaks your heart. Tough love isn't about being harsh. It's about loving your children enough to let them face consequences, knowing it can produce repentance and growth. And as a mother myself, trust me, sometimes this is difficult. You want to protect your kids, especially from bad consequences. In those times when we have to let consequences stand, when our children suffer so they learn obedience and learn righteousness, it's not easy, tough. But our love for them says we must. Your example shapes the community. Just as Aaron's silence preserved Israel from wrath, a parent's steadfastness, father or mother, can protect the household from greater harm. When you choose tough love for your family's sake, you're setting a precedent others can follow, showing that Yahweh's holiness is worth more than monetary comfort or momentary comfort. Let me say that again. When you choose tough love for your family's sake, you're setting a precedent others can follow, showing that Yahweh's holiness is worth more than momentary comfort. It's easy to talk about principles, but they only matter if you know how to live them out. Tough love, sanctifying Yahweh in our responses, and holding fast to what is right are just theories. They're choices we make in the heat of real situations. Let's look at those principles and what they look like in everyday life when the tests aren't hypothetical and the stakes are personal. But here's a few real life examples. Say your son is caught cheating in school. The temptation might be to argue with the teacher, defend your child, or mourn the unfairness. You might want to say, my child would never cheat, and try to defend him. But tough love says, our family stands for honesty. We accept the consequences and will work to make this right. So the child will learn integrity is non-negotiable. And that real love sometimes says no for a higher purpose. If my son was caught cheating, Yeah, he would be in lots of trouble, right? Cheating is wrong. And if the teacher says your child is cheating, and he probably was. Tough love. There's consequences to that action. Say your daughter starts running with the wrong crowd and walks away from the faith. Instead of making a public spectacle of her or pleading against Yahweh's standards, as a parent, you quietly continue to pray and uphold truth at home, showing love without compromise. Yes, children have their own personalities and their own opinions, and they have a right to their own beliefs. We can't force a child to believe what we believe. All we could do is model for them why believing the way we believe may be the best way. And maybe their questions, maybe their walking away from the faith can help you grow in yours. Do you really believe? Do you really believe Romans 8:28 that God works all things out for good to those who love God and are called to according to his purpose? This is a situation that could help you to trust God with that promise, knowing that no matter what your daughter's doing right now and with who, God's going to work it out. And if you've trained her up in the way a child should go, it's another promise. When she's old, she will not depart. That means she'll come back. Remember the story of the prodigal son? When he got in the pig pen? And he remembered, even my father's servants eat better than this. And he decided to go home. She'll come back. But if you publicly shame her, you make that much more difficult. Self-love in action is never giving up on your child, but refusing to lower the bar of righteousness. That unwavering stance becomes a beacon for her and the rest of the family, and it's often what Yahweh uses to draw wondering hearts home. Prodigal daughter, she'll come home. Get your family and church, the rest of the family in the home and your church family, pray. Pray for her. Pray for her protection. Pray that she'll remember the love that Yeshua has for her and that she'll come back. Then you have an adult child asking for financial help after repeated mistakes or bad choices. It's natural to want to step in and fix things, especially when your grown child is struggling because of poor choices. Maybe it's debt, or failed business ventures, or ongoing irresponsibility. Tough love may mean saying, I love you, and I'm here to support you emotionally, but I can't keep rescuing you from the consequences. They have to do it themselves. They have to learn to provide for themselves and their own families. You can't keep giving them money and rescuing them. In doing so, you honor Yahweh by refusing to enable destructive patterns, and you give your child the opportunity to learn responsibility, stewardship, and the value of wise decisions. These kinds of choices aren't easy, and they can leave us feeling isolated or uncertain, especially when the world around us doesn't understand. But we're not the first to walk this path. Throughout Scripture, we find examples and instructions that speak to the tension between love, discipline, and faithfulness to Yahweh. Let's anchor these principles with a few key passages that show how the standard has always been a part of His ways. In Ezekiel 24:15-24, Yahweh tells Ezekiel not to mourn publicly for his wife's death as a sign to Israel. The message we learn is that the holiness of Yahweh's name and purpose sometimes takes precedence over personal sorrow. In Luke 14:26, Yeshua says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple." See, loyalty to Yahweh comes before all else and everyone else. Yahweh must be first in our hearts. We can't let a family member lead us away from God. Amen? The greatest commandment, according to Yeshua, is to love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said this is the first and greatest commandment. You know, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Every other commandment and instruction hangs on these two, according to Matthew 22:37-40. True love for God means putting him first in everything, even when it's hard, and letting that devotion shape how we love and lead those around us. Hebrews 12:5-11 tells us, "And you have forgotten the exhortation was addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." As you can see from this passage, discipline is a sign of sonship. If we endure discipline, God deals with us as sons. It's painful, but it produces righteousness. Well, the primary principle we are learning today is that those who come nearest to Yahweh, fathers, mothers, leaders, servants, must guard his holiness, even when it hurts. The world watches how we respond to discipline, tragedy, and loss. Do we sanctify the name of Yeshua, or do we let our feelings obscure his glory? Yeshua too accepted the will of the Father, even when it meant unspeakable pain. He wept in private, but before the people, he submitted to Yahweh's plan, trusting that glory would come through obedience. As I close on this Father's Day, let's remember, the highest calling isn't to shield our loved ones from pain, but to lead them in a way that honors Yahweh above all. Like Aaron, we may be called to silence in the face of grief, not because we don't love deeply, but because we love Yahweh, and by extension, our families, even more. May we have the courage to stand at the altar, even with tears in our eyes, and say, "He will be sanctified in those who come near him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here today, for the truth of your word and the challenge it brings to our hearts. Thank you for the example of Aaron and the lessons we learned about holiness, obedience, and love that sometimes requires strength and sacrifice. Help us to walk in your ways, especially when it's difficult. Give us courage to lead our families with wisdom, to honor you above all emotions, and to trust your judgment, even when we don't understand. for every father, every mother, and every person carrying responsibility. May your spirit empower us to reflect your character in all we do. Keep us from offering strange fire, from following our own ways instead of yours. Let your name be sanctified in our homes and in our lives. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Well, I pray you've been blessed by this message today. As you set out to live these truths, may Yahweh grant you wisdom, understanding, and courage to be the kind of parents who lead in holiness and model righteousness, bringing true shalom into your home.